Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhadi Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhadi Jasoda Nandana Braja Chanda Dandana Jasoda Nandana Braja Chanda Dandana Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janab Balabha Girivara Dhadi Gopi Janab Balabha Girivara Gopi Janab Balabha Girivara Dhadi Gopi Janab Balabha Girivara Dhadi Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Dandana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Dandana Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayom Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharaja Astatarasatasi Srimad His Divine Grace is he Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Grantharad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaurapimanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're continuing this morning, Canto 10, Chapter 28. And the text number is text number 9, 1020, 8, 9. This, the yesterday, the prayers of Varuna to Krishna finished. And Krishna is now going to go back to Braja with his father. And everyone's going to become happy. Oh, Krishna. Oh, Nanda. And having a big festival. Gotta have sweet rice. They had sweet rice. Because they had to break the Ekadasi fast. Sweet rice. Shukadeva Goswami said, thus satisfied by Varuna, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of Lords, took his father and returned home, where their relatives were overjoyed to see them. Purport. In this pastime, Lord Krishna gives a sublime demonstration of his position as the Supreme Lord of all Lords. Varuna, the demigod of the seas, is most powerful, yet he was happy to worship even Lord Krishna's father, would to speak with Krishna himself. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, that was Prabhupada, he returned home with Nanda. It is understood that he returned before the sun had yet risen. Sanatana Goswami. Satisfied by the methods described, by treatment, words, and actions, Krishna returned. Question. Why was he satisfied with just that for such a great offense? Answer. Krishna is omniscient, Bhagavan, and he knew that actually Varuna had not made offense. In fact, he did it with a desire to see me. Now we've heard several different things. We'll review this shortly. Oh, I'll consume it now. A, B, C, D. A, Varuna did it, because that's what it says here. Sanatana Goswami, he arranged, okay, go get Nanda, bring him here, and Krishna will come, then I can see Krishna. Two, his servant is a demon, an offender, and he didn't know the rules, but I don't understand it completely, but the rule goes something like this. There's solar day and there's a lunar day. Solar day is 24 hours, and a lunar day depends upon the moon passing through a certain nakshatra. And on that particular Ekadasi day, the day finished in 18 hours. That is, the moon passing through that constellation. And he had to break the fast. So one rule is you break the fast in between the one day and the next day. That Sunday situation. And there's another rule. And the other rule is you don't break a fast before the sun rises. So that was the rule that the servant or assistant of Varuna was working with. He hadn't broken the fast, but he was first going to take his bath. So that's why he did what he did. And then Varuna recognized who he was. It was Nanda. And he situated him on a throne, and he just waited for Krishna to come because he knew Krishna would come. And And there's other variations on maybe this, maybe that, that we heard. So it was planned by Varuna, or it was just a big mistake? Because the beginning of this chapter, his the servant is called a demon, and then later Varuna says ignorant and offensive. So at least here, Varuna had not made an offense. In fact, he did it with the desire to see me. He considered also that his father had suffered and had fear. Now, he doesn't say who he is. Varuna seems to be Varuna because that's the previous sentence. Varuna considered that Krishna's father, or Krishna considered that his father had suffered and had fear. Why is Krishna considered Bhagavan? Answer: he is the inspiration for all beings. Akilanam Ishwaraha. He is the master internally and externally. Though he is the father of Krishna, he had no fear of suffering by his very nature. Taking Nanda's hand, he returned home. His friends, the people of Vraja, experienced continual rivers of happiness. The word cha indicates that Nanda also celebrated the breaking of the fast. The Lord was pleased. This indicates that compared to Indra's offense, Varuna's offense was very small, since he wanted to see the Lord and worship him. In relation to Indra, it is not mentioned that the Lord was pleased. He was glorified, Sankirtata, that's when he returned back to Vraja. Being pleased after someone commits a great offense is not possible. Thus, Krishna returned home pleased because of Varuna's bhakti. Now, it says that directly in the verse. Satisfied by Lord Varuna. Prasaditaha. Satisfied. Pleased. Here's Gopal Champu. Remember what Gopal Champu is, right? I don't have to... You know what Gopal Champu is? Looking behind you. Okay. Jiva Goswami writes in Gopal Champu. This is their return back to Braja. Only Balaram approached them and offered respects. Nanda, giving him great happiness, embraced him. And, losing external awareness, he remained stunned for a moment without speaking. As Balaram offered repeated respects, Krishna came so quickly that no one could see. And he first brought his mother to consciousness by contact with his sweet touch. Then he revived the others. When Nanda had arrived, they all approached Krishna and Nanda, being aware of nothing else. But Nanda and Krishna were aware of all of them, no matter what their status. The roar of cows lowing, instead of mooing, I guess, people chattering, flowers falling from heaven, along with music, dancing, and recitation of verses, rose up in competition with each other. Balaram, they were having a festival. Balaram protected all the animals and directed everyone to suitable places in a sweet voice. Balaram made Nanda sit on a white cloth and arranged sitting places for all others. Then he asked what happened to his brother who was sitting next to him. Hearing the narration of events, he then told this to the cowherd people. They invited the brahmanas to come at their will and fed them sweet rice and gave them desirable gifts in profusion. Fearing profoundly that they would trespass the Dwadasi, they prayed that the vow could be completed without fault and made sure that they finished the vow with the words and blessings of the brahmanas. Considering themselves successful, they then returned to Vraja. Almost done. Walking along the... So they're at the river. Now they're going back to Nandagram. Walking along the path, Nanda looked effulgent between his two sons. The speaker, finishing his narration, then spoke to Nanda. What is the question of you being bound by Varuna? There is no fear, since your son has great power. When Varuna said, "Oh, Govinda, affectionate to your father, please take your father," that was Krishna's mercy, caused by his great power. The pastimes themselves have very special potencies, and just hearing the pastimes, even people that don't know anything about Krishna, there's potencies in his pastimes, and hearing them, it's not only it's attractive, but it's purifying. And then our acharyas, part of what they do is they just churn the topics. Churning the topics means like somebody that's a really, really, really expert cook, and some personalities that are really good at tasting foods, they come along and take a little sample and savor it and taste it, then another and taste it just a little bit. So our acharyas are doing like that. They're taking the words and the message and the mood and the lessons and everything and churning the topics. They themselves are tasting, and they're sharing with others who is their audience to inspire attraction for Krishna. And especially because this is the 10th canto, this is the Braja Prem mood, where Krishna is everything. It's not like that doesn't exist in other places in the kingdom of God. It exists in other places. But the intensity is unparalleled. And because of that intensity of love, it's very pleasing to Krishna. And Krishna becomes controlled by that love. He moves by that love, yet at the same time, he's totally independent. This pull and push, or tug of war, this exchange between the devotees in Braja and Krishna is part of the topics being churned, because here's Nanda Maharaj, their protector, their king, just disappears. We heard the residents of Braja, they plunged into the ocean to search for him. They couldn't find him. They came out totally distressed. And then a message, then their loud cries of distress were heard by Krishna, so he came at once. What's wrong? What's wrong? Nanda, da da da. So there's the residents of Vrindavan undergoing whatever trauma over the fear of the safety of Nanda. And then there goes Krishna, and who knows if he'll come back, what happened. So the whole, because of the intensity of love for Krishna that the residents of Braja have, it creates a mood of intensity of emotion no matter what. And there's different varieties of emotion. Even in the midst of all that, it's really wonderful that Krishna wanted to give his association to Varuna. That's another one of the models of Krishna wanted. So Krishna arranged X, Y, Z, including Varuna to do what he did, or the assistant of Varuna to do what he did, and it was all Krishna's internal potency, just manipulating or inspiring his devotees, Varuna and Varuna's assistant and everybody else involved there. Because Krishna wanted to give his mercy to Varuna. But it's not that Krishna doesn't want to give his mercy to any particular person, us, or anyone else that we know. But the operative principle is how much attraction does some person have towards him. And the nature of the love of Vraja is unequaled. Even with that, he's going to meet Varuna. Several times it was spoken that when Krishna went, he was, at least externally, in a mood of anger. And Varuna sensed it. And so he did the things that he did. Immediately he pointed, there's Nanda. He's inside. And his not pragmatic but genuine submission to Krishna. It's not that Krishna didn't know any of those things to do with his feelings, because he's super soul. He knew. But it's just loving exchange and loving exchange and loving exchange and loving exchange. For elevated persons. Now, what about us? Because we're not elevated persons. But we can hear about elevated persons, that helps us become elevated. It helps us enter into the mood of such elevated devotees and become purified just by hearing. So that's what we're doing. See if there's some discussion.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. It is interesting that the way Varuna wanted to take Krishna's darshan, it is also, there is another story in the same Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Narayana also wanted to take darshan of Krishna, where he took the boys of Brahmana.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of puzzled by this method of approach to take darshan of Krishna. Varuna could have come to Vraja and taken the darshan.
That was already explained, but I'll repeat it. That was ruled out because if he had gone to Vraja to see Krishna, his mood is a demigod mood, and he would have wanted to worship Krishna, and that would have disturbed the mood of the residents of Vraja, so he had to nix that one and check the menu, see what other options there were.
On the same context, one more question that one of my Bhakti Riksha member asked was the understanding the mood of the love of Vraja, Vrajavasis, versus like Prahlad Maharaj. you know, when Prahlad Maharaj was in any kind of danger, he never called out for Krishna, but he just remembered and he was quiet. Like even Ambarish Maharaj, when Durvasa Muni did whatever he did, he did not call out for Krishna. Whereas we can see in this Vraja Leela that when demons attack, the Gopa friends of Krishna call out for Krishna and Balaram. So they were asking like, is it not to understand like how the love of Vraja is higher. We see from our perspective that the love of Prahlad Maharaj and Ambarish Maharaj is greater than that of Vraja.
And the criterion being whether they remain peaceful or they feel something other than peaceful and call out for Krishna.
Yes.
That's the basis. One very simple reply is Aishwarya versus Madhurya. With Madhurya, it does not mean they don't recognize that Krishna has opulences, all opulences, or the opulences, in Garga's words, the opulences of Narayan. But their feeling of intimacy is such that they cannot feel that mood of the all-powerful, all-omnipotent, all-mighty little boy Krishna. That's eclipsed by the Madhurya, and therefore it's more elevated because of the Madhurya. The Madhurya eclipses the Aishwarya. That Krishna is their protector, but they're not like immediately because of Vaikuntha Bhav or Aishwarya Bhav. They're not, you know, remaining in the mind neutral when there's indication of danger. It's spontaneous. Krishna. You're processing. Go ahead, process. Anyone else? Anything? Okay. You have more? That's it? Okay.
This is from Gopinatha. I like Kirtan more than Japa. How do you make them tie so that I don't like one better than the other?
Well, liking one better than another is not terrible. Supposing you like sabji more than rice, or you like chapatis more than, you know, bitter melon. You know, it's variety is, and having preferences of taste with, you know, at the same time, you know, it depends upon the individual. At the same time, some personalities, I've heard that Bhaktisiddhanta would do this, he'd take the Mahaprasadam and then just mix it up and then take. So as to not go into, whether he did that or not, I can't verify. But some persons feel that's the way you should approach, not like you don't like something. But, you know, you have your, maybe the favorite deity outfit or a favorite melody or two or three in kirtan. And so that's fine. And whether you have, to get to the point where it's equal is not necessarily a goal. Supposing you have deep attachment for the name, supposing, then whether the name is in japa or the name is in kirtan, is the same because it's attachment to the name, deep attachment to the name. And you still may like kirtan in its own, with its own flavor, because of the various reasons people like kirtan. The social interaction, the musicality, and the melody, and the changing of the mood through very quality musicians that are accompanying the kirtan, and the singer knowing how to move those moods and to which the musicians respond. So it has a flow, a dynamic that's very nice. But the musicality can override the attraction to the name, and that's not going to be the same as when one has absorption in the name. So keep liking the, whichever one you like, and let me guess that you like kirtan more, and continue with your chanting. And when you do your japa, and when you do kirtan, try to enter into a deeper relationship with the name, not just the musicality and so forth.
Question from Vishalaksha Prabhu. What should be the mood while hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the spiritual master? And what are the steps should I take to improve the quality of hearing?
For both questions, my response is similar to the previous response, and that is by cultivating a spiritual conception of things, shastra, guru, sadhu, bhakti, by cultivating a spiritual conception of things, then appreciation will grow, application will grow, realization will grow. That is to say, you know, a principle of bhakti is resting on sankhya, making this a proper distinction between matter and spirit. And we have a spiritual conception that everything goes up.
Question from Prakash Narayan Govindan. The objective of outreach is to is to give a chance for persons to carry Krishna in their heart like the Vrajavasis do.
Yeah.
The extent to which this can happen, is it limited by the extent to which the outreach leader is advanced in bhakti?
Not exactly. I mean, there's certainly a correspondence, but we have experience, all of us, that somebody is really new, does something that's very powerful somehow, and Krishna can invest potency in anybody he wants, and he, from time to time, he does. And it is a general inclination. What Prabhupada, for example, what Prabhupada was able to accomplish is the fruit of, or a demonstration of, his purity and empowerment because of that purity. But that doesn't mean that, say, predecessor acharyas that didn't do what he did, they didn't have the same purity. There's investment of potency in Prabhupada that is very evident just by history and factual understanding of things. So it's not a one-to-one correlation, that's all.
Jyotirmay Mataji, question is from Sripati. What's the difference between surrender and dependency?
Dependency is a subset of surrender.
This question from Sri Jiva. Maharaj, you named me Sri Jiva. How can I learn more about Sri Jiva Goswami? How can I learn about Sri Jiva Goswami?
Ask your mom. She'll give you more material than you can swallow. But she'll probably, you know, give it in measured doses. But there's abundant.
Question from Rupa Vilas Prabhu. Western college students may not appreciate Krishna's pastimes because coming from impersonal background. How to introduce Krishna Leela to such persons?
Prabhupada's books. And knowing the person, help them understand. You know, you through your accessibility of heart, they may then ask the questions that their doubts and whatever, and then you make your best effort to supply. And depending upon the person, if you rely on scriptural reference, it will help. An unreasonable person doesn't care about scriptural reference. But there are persons like are being described, they have some regard for scripture. And so making scriptural reference will be helpful, if not compelling.
Question from Udayananda Prabhu. I have this question since years in my mind. I see some chant even before taking bath. How important it is to take bath before starting daily japa in the morning?
Well, don't be disturbed, first of all. This is my understanding. The rule about taking bath first has to do primarily with Vedic mantras, that is, Gayatri mantras. And in contrast, the Maha Mantra is different. It's not a Vedic mantra. It's not the items that are there within a standard Vedic mantra. But it's Vedic, and it's Om Apavitra Pavitrava Sarvavastam Gutopiva. Supposing we go on Harinam Sankirtan, and you know we can't let people hear until they take a bath. I mean, that would be pretty limiting to Harinam Sankirtan. But there, we don't do the same with Gayatri mantras. Go out and sing Gayatri mantras or chant them aloud for the public, purified or not purified. Maha mantras has a different set of rules.
Guru Maharaj, to that question, can I add that if we take bath, it refreshes and we may be in mode of goodness, so it will be better for chanting.
But you're addressing a separate point. His question is, some people say, and some people do, which is correct, not why is this better.
Question from Gaurasundar Prabhu. Does Varuna's pastime take place in Goloka or is it just Bauma Leela?
Well, what do you think? Anyways, it's Bauma Leela. Because he's a demigod. He's in charge of this net, and so demigod. Bauma Leela.
Question from Amara Mataji. Nanda Maharaj is father of Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is very careful about the details of Ekadashi principle. Question: When I do not understand details of a principle, I rely on Bhavagrahi nature of Krishna and remember that all principles are for his remembrance only. How can I be more diligent in understanding and following details of the principles?
How can you learn them and then you follow them? Because of the preamble that you said before this. It's meant for the pleasure of Krishna. That's the explanation given about the Brijvasis. They knew, even village people, they knew this and that. And they followed because it was for the pleasure of Krishna. So how can you be more diligent? You learn more than you do for Krishna. That's all. Yeah?
Yeah, this is about learning Sanskrit. Learning Sanskrit.
Yeah.
So right now I am working with 3 children who are autistic. And somebody told me that if they learn Sanskrit, it will help them more. So in what way it should be done?
And in what way should
teaching Sanskrit. Suppose I can't teach them Sanskrit language, but how can I include it while I'm reading with them? Or
how can you do this?
Yeah, while I'm reading with them.
While you're reading with them?
Yeah.
While you're with them or just you're reading?
I make them read.
But that is what my question was. Could you... I'm trying to be clear what you're asking. Let me say back what I think you're asking. You have 2 children that are autistic. Somebody said this would be beneficial. In what way, what's the best way or some of the good ways that I can interact with these 2 children, taking into account the principle that if they learn Sanskrit, it will be beneficial for their autism situation? That's what your question is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know anything about autism, so it's hard to respond to your question. I don't know if autistic children can learn Sanskrit. My guess is probably they can't. But if they hear it, although they can't learn it, that's going to be beneficial. So reciting, because it's probably they'll be more interested if they hear you reciting than if they just give some recording of somebody reciting, because it's warm and personal. There's limits to your time and your capacity to expand in so many arenas of life. So a couple of drops is not what's required when someone needs an ocean. But the principle of you're extending yourself to them on that basis sounds nice. And even if it's a couple of drops and not the ocean. I'm thinking, what are some of the other options? Supposing there's a Sanskrit teacher. Well, a Sanskrit teacher is probably not going to want to teach Sanskrit to autistic kids knowing that they can't learn it. They're not going to be really enthusiastic to do that. But some people are social-minded, and maybe you'll find somewhere somebody that's like a social worker that knows Sanskrit and come spend time in reciting Sanskrit with the kids. I mean, I don't know if that's like a straw, needle in a haystack. How do you find that? Somebody that knows that. Just recordings. But, you know, Mahamantra is also Sanskrit. Let them hear Mahamantra.
then what about these normal kids, like if they learn Sanskrit? How does it
Prabhupada's emphasis was not on learning Sanskrit, and so we don't place emphasis, although there is very clear and explicit and documented evidence, scientific, it's because science says it's got to be true, right? Scientific evidence that people who become proficient in reciting Sanskrit mantras, all kinds of good things happen. The capacity of memory is one of the foremost. It has a very powerful effect, but Prabhupada didn't give emphasis to that. Now, some teachers like, but I know our founder Acharya didn't particularly emphasize it. Now, if somebody has a propensity, that's fine. He didn't like discourage that, but he didn't encourage, in order to advance in Krishna consciousness, you need to learn Sanskrit. Or if you learn Sanskrit, you'll advance better. He made no indication like that. Rather, the others, without material qualification, you receive bhakti from a pure devotee, that's the qualification.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Here comes the microphone.
This is from Shari Mataji. Is there any reason that Krishna chose Varuna out of other demigods to give his mercy so he desired this pastime to happen?
I don't know. He gave his mercy to many, not one. Singling out one. Many. Just that, we discussed Brahma, Indra, and Varuna. And then later Lord Shiva and the other principal personality. So he reached out to them. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai.